you turn in the Gospel of John once again, John chapter 8, and we will continue our study of the I Am's sayings of the Gospel of John. We'll read verses 51 through 59. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he never shall see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So we're currently studying the absolute I Am sayings of Christ in John's Gospel. These are I Am sayings that stand alone, and they are self-contained statements without any predicate, and are often referred to as absolute I Am sayings. There are 9 occurrences where Christ used the absolute I Am to describe himself. 3 occur in John chapter 8, and we have looked at 2 already, John 8, 24 and 28. In fact, if you add to these 3, 2 more I Am sayings which have predicates, we have a total of 5 I Am sayings in the entirety of John chapter 8. And these I Am sayings are used by Christ as self-identification and as self-revelation of himself. Now let us summarize chapter 8 briefly, and how Christ revealed himself to the Jews and their response to his claims. Now, when I say the Jews here, it's also implied that these were Jewish rulers, such as the Sadducees and the scribes. In verse 12, Christ reveals he is the bringer of light. He says, I am the light of the world. The Jews responded with a flat contradiction of this. They said, Your testimony is not true. Then Christ, in verses 14 through 18, reveals his testimony is reliable. He says, My testimony is true. I bear witness of myself and the Father who sent me. So the Jews respond to this with a slanderous insinuation. They say, Where is your Father? For they ascribe to Jesus only a temporal existence. Where is your Father? Then verse 19 through 21, Jesus reveals that if they had known him, they should have known the Father, and that he is going to the Father. And then the Jews respond in sarcasm. Will he kill himself? Is he going to commit suicide? Then in verses 23 through 24, Jesus reveals himself that he is from above. I from above am, and I am saying, and they from below, not of this world, and he is not of this world, and they are of this world. He reveals that he is the rightful object of faith. If you don't believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins, verse 24. And the Jews respond with scorn. They say, you, who are you? In verse 26, Jesus reveals that he is the one sent by the Father. He who sent me is true. Whatsoever I have heard of him, these things I speak unto the world. And the Jews were ignorant because of their prejudice. And they did not recognize that he spoke of the Father. In verse 28, Jesus reveals that he will be lifted up. Then you will know that I am. And interestingly, after this statement, some of the Jews responded in faith. And we see then a divide in this Jewish audience. Those who had responded now in faith, and others who were vehemently against Christ and fought tooth and nail against him. For what follows is a very enthusiastic confrontation between the Jews and Christ. Jesus reveals that the truth will set them free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Jews responded in arrogance. We're the seed of Abraham. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest then, ye shall be made free? We already are free. What are you talking about? In verses 34 through 41, Jesus is the one who reveals God. If you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I hear from God. This Abraham did not do. You do the deeds of your father. The Jews respond to this in anger, and again in slander. We were not born of fornication, insinuating that Jesus was born of fornication, that Jesus was a bastard son. In verse 44, Jesus reveals that their true father is the devil, who is the father of lies, and that he himself, meaning he himself Christ, is sinless and has committed no sin. Who can convince me or convict me of sin? The Jews respond to this with accusations, scandalous accusations. You're a Samaritan and you have the devil. Jesus proclaims then to be the Prince of Life. I do not have a devil, he says, and adds, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So Christ here has elevated the conversation to eternal life and the divine attribute of eternality. The Jews answer with indignant unbelief. Now we know that you have a devil because Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead. If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Who makest thou thyself? So here they are using Abraham as the epitome of the father of their faith. And Christ has told them that that Abraham is not their father, that the devil is their father. And this becomes very confrontational. Christ speaks of Abraham's delight. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." And Christ places himself above Abraham by representing himself as the object of Abraham's highest desire. He speaks of Abraham, "rejoiced to see my day," which means more than meets the eye here. The day of the Messiah, which was subject to much speculation among the Jews of that day. So the Jews respond to this with scathing ridicule. "Thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham?" Saying, "You're only 50. Doesn't mean he's 50 years old at the time. He's saying, "You're only a man of, say, middle age, 50 years old. How could you even have seen Abraham, who lived, what, 1,700 years ago?" "Hast thou seen Abraham?" They were essentially asking him if he was contemporary with Abraham. And how absurd was that? And then Jesus proclaims his attribute of eternality. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." The Jews respond in open violence. They took up stones to cast at him, we're told. You see, last time in verses 28 through 29, we considered how Jesus told the Jews when they would truly know about his relationship with the Father in heaven. "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. It will not be until they have killed and crucified the Son of Man, lifting him up on the cross, not until he was raised from the dead and ascended bodily into heaven, that they will truly understand his claim, I am." The I am sayings of Christ are inherently related to his relationship with the Father. The I am of verse 28 is a reiteration of Christ's claim of I am in verse 24, along with some further explanation. It is a full claim of deity. Christ made the same claim in connection with redemption. "If you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sin," underscoring the necessity of believing in Christ as the I am Redeemer. In verse 24, it is, "If you believe I am." In verse 28, it is, "You shall know I am." Jesus informs them of the time and the event when they will know then the true meaning and claim of ego me, I am. And clearly the cross is in view here. Here Jesus further expands in the context of redemption that the Son of Man will be lifted up. That is, he will die on the cross, indicating the necessity of substitutionary death for the forgiveness of sins. This is when his glory would be most fully revealed. And indeed, one of the functions of the cross was to reveal who Jesus Christ is. Christ is saying the Jews will not understand who he really is before he's crucified. But equally important here, he shows how his claim to be I am is inherently related to the Father and the eternal covenant of redemption in saving the elect. Christ's declaration of I am denotes the unity of the Father and the Son. He's teaching them when he speaks about the Father sending him, about he and the Father are one, and about how he doesn't do anything except for what the Father tells him to do, how he came as a servant to his Father. And as he describes throughout John this relationship with the Father, he is teaching them the doctrine of the Trinity. They had correctly understood God as one. And Christ is teaching them now of the various, or the three personalities in one God. And the very I am, which he speaks of, denotes the unity of the Son and the Father. Christ does not act independently on his own initiative, but always does those things which please the Father. And here we see he's commissioned of the Father to accomplish this work of redemption, going to the cross and being lifted up, which was his Father's will. Now, it's my opinion, the Jews knew what Christ was referring to in verse 24 and 28 when he proclaimed to be I am. It has a reference to Jehovah and a claim of deity. It was a reference to the Anahus of Isaiah, such as Isaiah 41:4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I, the Lord, the first with the last, I am He, Anahu, which is Ego Eimi in the Septuagint. It was a reference to Exodus 3:14, I am that I am, giving the name, his name, to Moses. It was a reference to texts such as Deuteronomy 32:39, see now that I, even I am He, Anahu, Ego Eimi, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver me out of my hand. Now, if there were any doubt as to what Christ meant by this claim to be I am, it is completely removed in verse 58. Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Many believe, and I have a tendency to go this direction, that this name of God, this Anahu, this I am that I am, was the very name that the Jews superstitiously would not pronounce, but gave it a new name with new points so they could pronounce it. They knew what Christ was saying. And here Jesus reaffirms his eternal, timeless, and absolute existence. Before Abraham came to be, before he became, I am. Now the Greek verb in before Abraham was is ginomai, which means to become. So here in our text it means before Abraham came into existence, before Abraham was ever born, I am. And more than that, before the worlds were made. It's reminiscent of Psalm 92. Before the mountains were brought forth, forever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now we note When Christ says, verily, verily, he's speaking of something important. This is only a term, amen, 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 in the Greek. This is a term that only John uses. And when it's said, I think it's 25 times you'll find it in the Gospel of John, it is used emphatically. It marks the proclamation out as an emphatic statement, a magnificent affirmation of that, the climatic point of the whole chapter, over against Abraham's fleeting span of life. Jesus places himself as the eternal present tense. He makes himself far superior to Abraham. He says, not I was, but I am. His answer is that Abraham, like all men, came into being. In other words, they were created. There was a time where he was not. But there was never a time when the Son of God was not. The statement is not that Christ came into existence before Abraham, but that he never came into existence at all. His existence transcends time. It is exalted infinitely above Abraham. And there's no stronger affirmation of our Lord's preexistence in the entire Word of God. It signifies unchangeable essence, everlasting duration. If he were to say, I was, before Abraham was, I was, it would place him among the created beings. But I am at once reveals himself as uncreated, eternal, self-existent, and independent of time. It was unquestionably a claim to deity. And the Jews could only interpret this claim as blasphemy. They were too acquainted with the attributes and designations of Jehovah to misunderstand the language of Jesus. The claim was clearly recognized by the Jews. He claimed equality with the great I Am, and they sought to stone him for that. They picked up stones to cast at him. And interestingly, we are told that Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He first hid himself for a moment and then went out through the midst of them calmly and boldly. He passed by. But his hour had not yet come. And so he departed the temple unhurt, in perfect calmness. And the stone throwers were made impotent. We're told that they picked up stones. And evidently they're at the temple and there was construction at the time and stones were available for them to pick up. So this ends the chapter. It ends the discussion. It ends everything that had been leading up to this culminary point where Christ says, before Abraham was, I am. But there are some things I want to close with that we haven't touched with yet. In verse 31, in this conflict Jesus was having with the Jews, Jesus said to those Jews, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, they were thinking free as if in bondage to some nation. And in fact, they were under the oppression of the Roman emperor. But they're not thinking spiritually here when Christ says, they shall make you free. They say, we be Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How can you say ye shall be free? And Jesus answers them and brings it now to a very spiritual level. Verily, verily, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. He's speaking of the bondage of sin. That you shall know the truth, which Jesus Christ is. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from the bondage and servitude of sin. They have not picked that up. Christ makes it very plain. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, it's the Son and the Son alone that can free you from this bondage of sin, ye shall be free indeed. What a glorious statement Christ is saying in the midst of a heated discussion. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. Free from the bondage of your sin. All men come into this world under the bondage of sin. Born with a sinful human nature. Inherited from Adam. And it is Christ alone that can deliver you from this bondage of sin. That can break the power of reigning sin. It's part of the work of regeneration when the Holy Spirit regenerates a sinner and converts a sinner. And what a glorious truth is encapsulated here in a heated debate. That's pretty awesome to me. I know having my kids in it's kind of off the subject, I guess, but they used this text of Scripture. They're in Christian schools, and to get them to tell the truth, they tell them, you tell the truth, and it'll set you free. And they use this text of Scripture. Well, it all sounds nice and good, but Christ didn't say, tell the truth, and it'll set you free. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free and be delivered. Basically saying you must be delivered from your sin. But they use that to try to get the truth and squeeze the truth out of these kids who were not saved and had no inclination to be saved and had every inclination to lie because they didn't want to get found out. But here, this is about being delivered. To be set free is here about being delivered from this horrible bondage of sin that man comes into this world from the fall of Adam. All men in this bondage of sin. And it's Christ that delivers us. It's Christ that sets us free from this bondage. So this is the gospel in a nutshell here. And it's amazing to see how Christ deals with these astounding theological subjects in the midst of, opposition and people just pounding on him and trying to get him to say something wrong, trying to catch him in his words. And he lays out these glorious truths about himself and the Father, about the gospel, about getting set free from sin. To see Christ, what would it have been like to hear Christ in some of these discourses? I would just be stunned there with my mouth wide open, just couldn't believe the things, the glorious things that came out of his mouth. I am. Check this out. The I am that Christ refers to may very well be the name of Jehovah that the Jews would not say. I'll leave it at that. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Pray for its retention in our mind and its effect upon our heart. We ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.